This is the Servers Radio Network. Welcome to this edition of A Server's Journey with Rocky DeStefano. The foundation of the show is everybody's leading someone or something.
Larry, I want to really thank you for coming or for helping us with this show. And we want to thank everybody for listening. And we want you guys to walk this leadership journey with us. You know, we always mention that the premise of our show is that everybody's leading something or someone, whether you're a parent leading a family, a coach leading a team member leading a few, or a CEO of a major organization, we're all on a path of being a leader.
And you know, one of our great additions to this program is having Zach Davis with us.
Yeah, and we really hope that, you know, why you're here, you know, why are you even listening to this show? We hope to answer those questions for you and inspire you in some way.
Yeah, and we were just talking about how this is helping us every week, helps us figure out or to remind us of why we are leading the way that we are.
It's our therapy sessions, let's face it.
So, okay, speaking of therapy, Larry.
Yes.
We are going to be introducing Bing here in a few moments.
Yes.
But more importantly, we are going to be embarking on a series, and we don't know if it's going to be 4 or 6 or 8 or 20 or 30 episodes. We do not know.
But it has to do with servant leadership.
It does. And what it really has to do is, how do you care for yourself if you're going to be a servant leader?
Caring for yourself?
Yeah. And so we talk about being a leader, and the very first thing that you lead is yourself.
Yeah.
And so many of us neglect ourselves, and so we begin to lead from a position of nothing, like we're empty inside. And it's a scary spot. So starting today with Bing, who's a wonderful life coach and a real great business mind around the lean thinking idea. He'll be our guest, but we're going to be bringing guest after guest for a while.
Fantastic. Now, Bing has a website, right?
He does, yes.
Okay. And so we have a website as well.
Okay, let's talk about that.
And I know we've partnered with ACS Creative.
That's right. That's a firm out of Virginia.
Helped us develop our website to make us look good. And they, you know, we want to go to the pros.
That's right. And they handle everything, Larry, whether it's logos, brochures, direct mail, campaigns, websites. They do all of it. And the best thing about them, Larry, is
they don't play games with your money.
That's right. That's right.
You can contact ACS Creative on the internet at ACS Creative. Epic moments in leadership. This is an epic moment that I have. Your store went through a tragic event the other day.
Yeah.
Last couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And your store came together on a Sunday afternoon to memorialize your servant, the person that worked there.
Yeah.
And he had the lowliest job in the store.
Yeah. I don't, you know, the weird thing is, and we're talking about a gentleman named John who had been with us for about 5 years. And John was really our dining room guy, dining room host. And the funny thing is, Larry, I don't think he would have felt like that was the lowliest job. I think he felt like he was right where he was.
Well, I know that. I don't know why I got choked up about that. But
I would say from a conventional definition, absolutely. I would say if we define that, you know, from the inside looking out into John's life and what he did for us, man, I just think we looked up to him so much in so many ways.
Well, that was how many lives had he touched in the store and out of the
store?
There
was literally almost 70 people, 80 people.
I think there was more than that. Because we have 114 chairs, and we had every chair almost full.
Yep.
So it was somewhere around, you know, 75 to 114 people. And I'm not sure why Larry thought it was an epic moment in leadership. I think of it more as an epic moment in servanthood, because John, doing a job that some people maybe would ridicule, actually, we heard story after story after story about how he impacted people's lives, whether they were team members or customers, and my life too.
Just an amazing guy. You know, I was saying, you know, at the service, one of the first things that I noticed when John wasn't there anymore was the stuff that nobody wanted to do
that he was doing
was not getting done. You know, I went outside, saw the trash was piling up. I'm like, man, cookies in the morning, Yeah. You know, 7 o'clock doing the cookies, those weren't getting done, you know.
Yeah, so one thing John did every morning was he opened the umbrellas on our patio. And so it became real that he was gone when I drove to the store and the umbrellas were not out. And it was like 9:30 in the morning.
Wow.
That would never have been. So.
Well, why this was an epic moment in leadership for me is because you took the opportunity to allow the store to share in this person's life.
Well, thank you very much.
That's what was an epic moment in leadership for me.
And Larry's getting choked up. I don't think I've seen Larry.
Are you crying right now, Larry?
There's no crying in broadcasting. Sorry. Isn't that funny how it affects you? Like, you know, and certain words, certain wording affect. Because, like, I was affected when I almost couldn't get it out that John was one of the few people who I really thought asked me how I was doing and meant.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, after Larry came out of that crying scene.
That's right, yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you that our guest here is Bing Oliver, and Bing has a long and illustrious career. He has done many things, from owning his own restaurant, a very successful restaurant, to being a consultant for one of the greatest and biggest companies in the world, and to now becoming more of a life and leadership coach and an expert on the lean theory, lean model.
And you guys got into that.
Yeah, and very personally,
Bing
is my coach, consigliere, counselor a little bit.
Yep.
And he has
I don't know what that word was that you used there.
Consigliere is like the second to the Godfather.
Is that Italian?
I was going to say, I just saw a John Gotti story. So.
But Bing has kind of become my de facto counselor and somebody who helps me be accountable to living the why that I'm saying I want to live.
Yeah. Well, and I'd say he made a massive impact on our store. I mean, going from one to two, he's put a lot of information out there and a lot of mindset and, you know, stuff that really has helped us out and make us successful.
He's
just a really great guy.
Yeah, very authentic, and I think he's very transparent in that he doesn't know it all, but he'll help us figure it out together.
Well, let's get to that interview.
All right, so what we're about to do, and I can't tell you how many episodes this is going to be, because we think we could spend a lot of time on this. And so what we're going to try to do over the next maybe 7 or 8 show is bring on a variety of experts to help us with what one thing that we think is the most critical part of being a servant leader. And Zach, I know we've had discussions about servant leadership and is it efficient?
Yeah.
So our first guest today, and I think this could bleed into several episodes, is a person that is very important in my life. He is actually my coach and has really helped me kind of push the needle in several areas of my life. But I'm going to introduce or welcome Bing Oliver and have him kind of share a little bit about himself.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm Bing Oliver. Rocky and I go way back, college days. We've been really, really enjoying working together here recently. I'm the founder of Peak Solutions. We do coaching and we also do some instruction in effectiveness. I also work with a partner with a company called Lean Six Ninjas, where we're learning to do to make lean fun from the manufacturing world, bringing it into all different kinds of industries and helping people deliver super high quality experiences for guests by getting rid of things that are not real value added. And I'm also the creator of the 5D model, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit today.
Yeah, and if you could, Bing, share a little bit for people that might not know, what is the lean? You mentioned that. What is the lean process?
Yeah, so lean's pretty simple. You basically ask yourself the question, number one, who is my customer? And ultimately, it's the person who is paying for your goods or services, or even in a nonprofit, just receiving value. And then it's also, more specifically, the next person in the process. So You know, if I'm creating a report and it's going to someone else, they are my direct customer. So you, first you got to identify who your customer is. Then you got to find out what they value. And then you just start looking for anything that's not adding value. And the longer that I'm work with Lean, the more I see just how much, how much time, energy, motion, et cetera, goes to things that just don't add a whole lot of value. And you don't get down about that. You get kind of excited about it. And you go, hey, we get rid of this stuff, we could add more value. And it's efficiency, but something that has been really interesting to learn here over the past few years is that it is not about the people so much the people with the degrees and the experience and the leadership titles creating systems that they just hand over to the team, but rather teaching and empowering everybody in the organization, especially those who are most directly interfacing with customers, how to recognize stuff that's wasting and then empowering them to get rid of it, which is just super cool.
So you would say that if a lean model is really working effectively in a store, a lot of the processes would probably come from the trenches.
Yeah, I think it's hand in hand. You have to rethink, as a leader, you have to rethink what your role is, and it's not to have all the answers, but it's rather to elicit the answers from those who are doing the work and then structure it in such a way that it benefits everybody.
Okay. That sounds great. So,
yeah.
So the reason why we asked Bing on, and this is where I'm going to need Zach to help out for sure, is we see a ton of information and books around health, taking care of yourself, becoming healthy, whether you're becoming healthy spiritually or physically. We see a ton of books on how to be an effective leader. And I don't see the intersection very often. And it's more around self-help. How do I help myself find balance and be healthy so that I can lead using the servant leadership model? Because one thing that, and Zach, you said this the other day, if we're looking at the lean model, we have to ask ourselves, is the servant leadership model efficient?
I would argue that not always. Okay, so I'll give you an example.
By the way, this is Zach Davis.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. For instance, Truett Cathy's being closed on Sundays. Right. Whether or not you support that decision, I think we can all agree that it's not necessarily business efficient. I don't think it is, because if you were open on Sundays every day for the year, that's 52 Sundays. If we're looking from an efficient fiscal standpoint, it would make more sense to be open on Sundays.
Sure.
You know, and I think in a sense, Truett being so adamant about that principle of we're not going to be open and serving his team in that way and saying, I want my team to go to church on Sundays. I want my team.
Or just download or, you know, decompress.
Right, or decompress. And he was thinking about his team, you know, and he was serving. I don't think that Truett was thinking, how can I be efficient
right
when I'm implementing the Sunday policy? And I think if you look at servanthood leadership across the line, I think a lot of servant leader decisions are not always efficient. That doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't consider efficiency, because I think efficiency in this world we have to consider.
Right.
I mean, we're in a fast moving world.
And I think one thing you're kind of getting at too is it's not necessarily efficient by a business model for me to stop and talk to one of my team members for 30 minutes about something going on in their life. If correct. I'm doing a strict efficient model, efficiency,
right.
I would say that's waste, because we're not being effective or efficient in the business.
Right.
And yet I am convicted that servant leadership is the way to be.
What about fantasy football?
Oh, fantasy football is a big, huge time suck. Bing, well, don't talk about fantasy football.
Guys, can I let me interject something
yeah,
here?
Yeah, please.
Because there, you know, it's really hard to have an elevator speech about lean, because it's just, it's not what you think it is.
Right.
You know, there is a misconception that it is sort of this idea of just like squeezing the last drop out of the grape or whatever. And, or the last, you know, you know, just to work in your people. Yeah. And so we're going to, I want to kind of challenge this thing of Truett being closed on Sunday, being not lean. So within the world of lean, there's three kinds of waste: Muda, Mura, and Muri. So Muda is where, you know, you're taking 15 extra steps when two would do. So you're, that's where waste is. Mura is unevenness. So, you know, when you talk about Rocky stopping and talking with someone, if you look at a lean organization, the work is fairly smooth and they get fast results, but not because they're going really fast. But then the final thing, Muri, is unreasonable burden on people or machines.
Okay.
And I think that Truett just recognized an eternal principle, which is, you know, yeah, sure, you can be open 24/7, but you're going to wear things out that need rest and need reset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we apply Muri to the work world and we put unreasonable burden on people or machines, machines break and people get sick and hurt. And so, actually lean, it is very lean to be for, you know, that's a lean decision to be closed on Sunday. And you can see that the rest of the week, the work is smoother. People are healthier and they get better results. And I pretty much guarantee you, if Chick-fil-A started opening on Sundays, within about 5 years, they would lose the competitive edge that they have.
Yeah, because they would be a different company. So you're saying that Truett was a lean ninja way back in the 40s and 50s.
Well, he and Jimmy really were with things like, you know, Chick-fil-A values continuous improvement. If you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean. We have these mottos, cook less, more frequently, that had some lean thinking built into it. But now what we're doing is we're saying, okay, that sounds good to, you know, cook less, more frequently, but what does that mean? And now we're creating, you know, systems and machines and processes, et cetera, that put some skin on that. I think lean is okay. So the what is, we want to, you know, deliver fantastic results, and have a fantastic workplace environment. And lean is the how do we do that?
Okay. So they're not necessarily directly in conflict, being a servant leader and trying to be a lean, you know, an observer of the lean process. They're not exactly definitely against each other.
Well, I would say they're perfectly aligned because, okay. You know, if you look at lean organizations, many times you've got the, chief executives, taking their turn and scrubbing the floors, you know? So if you want to see a real servant leader, humility is a huge factor in lean.
Sure. Well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's good to hear. And I like that viewpoint because Zach and I were, you know, we were talking about is the model that we believe efficient? And we were kind of saying, I don't know, you know.
Well, it Rocky, depends on whose definition of efficiency.
You were, Rocky, you were saying that you love to work on the fries.
Yes.
And you like the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sounds like it's taking time away from other people.
Well, and I think that us biased, again, and I'm probably butchering this, Bing, so you can kind of help me if I'm wrong. I think if most business experts would walk in my store and see me on fries, they would say that's wasteful. There are other people that could be doing that, but it feeds a couple beliefs I have. Number one, I like to be in the trenches. It really fulfills me. And secondly, I find I get to know the people the best, the quickest by doing that.
So I don't know how much we might get into the 5D model, but Rocky, that's where you and I started off working together and it continues to be the framework for our work. And, you know, the 1D that we talk about the executive leader being in is in the definer role, which means you're spending a lot of time on vision and you're creating culture. And the way to think about that, I think, is, you know, it's very, very different to say I need to make fries operationally.
Yes.
We don't have enough people. versus I want to do fries because I want to rub shoulders with my team. I want to have a viewpoint of what their day to day is like. I want to set the example of, nobody is above or beneath anything. And so the 1D is being a doer. And in that role, you're literally like, we don't have enough people and I got to fry fries. And I tell you, at the size of organization you have with, two stores and the volume you have, if you need to be frying fries, there's a serious problem.
Yeah.
But I like to say it this way, anybody can fry fries, but there's only one person in the organization who can simultaneously be the head of the organization and fry fries. Like you're right. The only one who can do that. And so that's a definer role.
And I think that, if you're up for it, Bing, I think there's an episode just in the 5D, an explanation of kind of what, you kind of created. Because I definitely think it's a valuable tool.
Yeah, and we use it a lot.
I think right now it just might be helpful to just, I think it might be just helpful to say, to simply understand it. It's basically five lanes that everybody in the organization, needs to learn and be in their lane. And we can develop it more later, but just so there's not kind of like, hey, what is that?
And it's somewhat of a process. And Zach might be in a different level right now, and he might be trying to get to a different one. And we might be at different ones at the same time in the same organization. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I like to think of it like lanes.
Okay.
Like if you're running along a track, everybody's got their lane. No one is more important or less important. They're just different. And in most organizations, people are a little out of their lanes. So when we get everybody in their lanes, things just run better.
Yeah. And Zach, you were saying that you've actually used this.
Yeah, we use it a lot from a day to day. It's something that I think we've kind of owned a little bit. And when we're talking about developing other people, I think it's something that's very applicable, being that you've created here. It's very applicable and understandable because it's not wildly complex. It's not a wildly complex concept. It's pretty simple and it makes sense, So when we're explaining, I was just explaining this to a team member a few weeks ago because he's like, I don't know what the next level looks like. I don't know what I'm doing now. And, so when we lay it out and he's like, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And I can tell you that our organization has had good periods and bad periods. And one of the things I can trace it back to is how you define the lane a person is and how you define or how well you're developing new leaders. Mm. And I think it's a
That's good.
I think it's a strength at Hammock.
I love what you're saying there, Zach, about simplicity. A lot of times I see that, if you see an organization that's really having trouble, there aren't very many organizations, almost no organizations that have, a mission statement that's like, I really want to disappoint guests and, serve bad food or serve a bad product or whatever. I mean, everybody's mission statement is really, they want to be top notch. And a lot of times I think that when I see that we're not delivering, it's because of complexity. And, we really just resonate with and can work with simple models. And when it's simple and easy to remember, you can spend the rest of your life. I used to play this game with my family called Othello, and the tagline on Othello is, a minute to learn and a lifetime to master, I've sat down and in 15 minutes explained this model to someone and they understand it from that point forward, but then you could spend the rest of your career working it out.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so the reason why this is important to me, and I think Zach feels the same way, and I would imagine you do also, Bing, and the reason why we're starting this series of episodes is, and I think you have to ask a question, and you asked it of me, Bing, and it's, what is it about the leadership role that requires so much self-care?
That's good.
And I think it's when you said it, it was a perfect, because when I feel like a failure, and I have quite a lot in the last 5 months, opening a second store, going from 120 people to 200 people, trying to keep the same mission in both stores. You know, there's been lots of times where I felt like a failure, and all of it is, or a lot of it's directly related to how I feel about balance in my life. And I know, Zach, you share that a lot too.
Yeah, I think what you said, Bing, and what we're really saying here is simplicity, simplicity, simplicity. And I don't think taking care of yourself should be a complex process. I don't think that leading people should be a complex process. I think what we're doing here is trying to marry these processes in a very simple way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Rocky, that got me thinking, Zach, I'd really like to hear your thoughts on self-care for leaders.
Yeah. So what are you specifically asking for when you ask that question? Sorry.
What comes to mind when you think about that? Do you go, well, that doesn't make sense? Or, I mean, I think you've already said it does make sense, but kind of what, I don't know.
Maybe
I'm
even
sure.
What parts.
I just want to hear your perspective.
Yeah. What do you see as like if you were to say, here's the parts I'm concerned about self-care.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that we can be lean about self-care because I think we do agree and we all are on the same page about being lean. As far as matching the world's efficiency processes and agreeing on the same definition of efficiency, you know, as compared to the world, I don't think it's always going to match up. But the way that I'm always thinking about it is I'm honestly just a walking sponge, and I'm really just trying to absorb everything that I can from the best people that I can. You know, like Agilon, he's our operations director, and he rides his bike to work, and he's got this hour in the morning where, you know, he's trying to align himself before he even comes to work. So I've tried to implement that, and I think it's very important. I've tried to implement that, and not saying that I'm perfect or that everybody should do this, but when I can sit down and get, you know, be at peace with my Savior, with Jesus, before I come into work.
That's a big deal. When I know
that he's with me, when I'm reading his word and when I'm aligned, when I take that hour of every day, you know, just to sit down, that to me is the biggest deal in the world. And I'm not saying that everybody needs that or everybody, you know.
Yeah, you need it.
That's
so
my
for you it's
opinion.
Important.
It's very, very important. So I do think that self-care and being a leader is super important. I think that everybody's definition of what self-care is can be different, and I wouldn't say that any self-care process or system is necessarily different, but I do think systems and doing it every day and making it really, really simple is super important, because if you can't take care of yourself, like you said, Bing, you don't have anything to pour if you don't take care of yourself. If you're not being filled, then what can you, you know, there's got to be a stream of caring for yourself so that you can care for others.
I would agree with that too.
That's good.
Do you see, you kind of mentioned one part, like a spiritual component,
right?
What else to you, Zach, is self-care? You know, are there other components?
Sure. I would say maybe a physical side. I've noticed when my eating is on point and my sleeping is on point, my leadership, how do I say this? My results seem to, I seem to yield better results. So I think when I sleep a good 8 hours or give or take, I'm not having to take, you know, I'm not having to be exhausted during my shift. So I'm able to focus on other people that way. So I would say a physical aspect is definitely for sure a big deal to me as well. I'm trying to eat, even though my hugest weakness is ice cream. Yeah. I could literally annihilate the whole Froyo section at racetrack.
Larry's the same way, actually.
Are you an ice cream guy?
Oh, yeah. Give me Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, my gosh. I love ice cream.
I am too, actually.
Well, I think there's like dairy in that, right? Isn't that supposed to be somehow good for you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's mixed with healthy doses of sugar and other things, too.
Well, this Halo top trend is really, that's been a discussion Rocky and I have had. But on another track, I say, so the way that I think about self-care is physical, which is your body, mind, and spirit. And I think that if we can simplistically deal with that in a systematic way, I think that it's possible. As far as mental goes, there's something to be said about 15 minutes of doing something that really doesn't make any sense in your life.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, like I watched 15 minutes of live PD yesterday. I'm okay with that. Now, if I spend 3 hours watching live PD, I'm also okay with that, but I don't think it's really lean or efficient, or, you know, I don't think it contributes as much as it could have been in that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But that's my thoughts about self-care and being a leader. I think it's ultra important. I think it can be really simple, and I think mind, body, and spirit is what I think, you know.
Now, Bing, would you add anything else to that? Like, when you think about self-care for you, because you're on the same journey as I am and Zach is, we're all trying to figure out this balance. Are there other areas that you would say are important to you besides mind, body, and spirit?
Yeah, I think you and I have talked a little bit about the social component. Boy, it just feels like so many things work against that. And I've been really grateful here recently. My social structures have been growing. It really helps. It really helps to have, I've got some really great friends that, we kind of stay in contact throughout the day and the week. And that's just really, really good. And I think that we tend to undervalue that, and we just kind of get busy and don't feel like we have time for that. I need that.
Yeah. And I think most of us do. And I think it's sometimes the quickest to go away because there are other pressing things. So like for me, I have three daughters and a wife, and yep, they all demand attention, and they deserve attention. So I would add there's a social component where I desperately crave deep friendships with, specifically for me, guys that are like-minded.
Yep.
But I also have to make myself available, fully available to my family too. And so there's another tension there. So I swim today or do I spend an hour with my daughter? sometimes I feel like that's what it comes down to.
Hmm. Do you think that social interaction can be considered spiritual?
Yeah, I think so.
Just out of curiosity.
For me, again, a very simple model for me is like, to me, life is really only about one thing, and that is relationships. And so I have a relationship with my creator, and I have relationships with other people. And
I've always been struck by too is, you know, when you look at most of the memories that I would consider to be great memories in my childhood happened around a dinner table, and it had nothing to do with the food. I mean, the food was good for sure. But it
had Italian food, right?
Yeah, it was
I'm
fantastic.
Still looking for those cheese pasta things. Anyway, so gnocchi.
Yeah, the gnocchi. It's really about the spending time with significant people in my life. You know, and I still feel like the Bible is full of imagery of being around a table.
Mm.
In fact, I think one of the greatest lessons Jesus taught us was the washing of the disciples' feet, which took place during a supper.
Yeah.
You know.
Question.
So I feel like we've got a pretty decent setup around the idea of self-care. And I think maybe there's another episode where we talk about how. But I'm wondering if we don't end this episode and bring you back in so you can start us with a better foundation around the 5D. Do you feel?
Yeah. I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to talk a little bit about habits.
Okay.
But in closing, because I think we're keeping it kind of high level right now, a couple of thoughts.
Yeah, we're 20,000 foot.
What's that?
Yeah, we're more of at a 20,000 foot view.
Yeah.
And we need to
dive
in.
A couple of things that I'd like to say on when you're the higher you rise in leadership, the more everybody thinks you've got it figured out.
Right.
Because, you know, somebody gave you this title or this responsibility. And one of the secret fears, if you will, I hate to use that word, but I don't know of a better one, of like a CEO type is like, boy, if anybody really knew how much I was guessing, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's not a class, you know, however you get that as a leader, you need some perspective. And a coach can help you with that. They can come in and go, hey, you know, they're sort of in your corner, and they're the one that you can go, yeah, you know what? I'm faking it here.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's, you're making it up as you go. You're building the airplane as you fly it.
Yeah. Which is a scary thought. A lot of my days are built around, I don't know what to do, but we're going to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like admitting it sometimes, but it's true.
So I don't know if this sounds like a commercial, but I just feel like it needs to be said that, you know, that's kind of the role of a coach. Like, a coach can be the person that comes in. You don't report to them. You know, they don't have an influence over your future in terms of directly. You know, they can't fire you. They can't cut you. They can't vote you off the board, whatever. And so that person can be in your corner. And the other thing that, and that's, you know, me or any good coach, but I would say, you know, in the world of coaching, there's just like in any world, there's quite a spectrum. So, not every coach is equal.
Sure.
And the other thing I want to say is this idea that's been floating around in my head leading up into today is the term the wounded healer. And this was a book by Henry Nouwen, but the concept, I mean, you don't have to read the book, is basically, you know, you don't really have to wait until you're all healed and whole and got it all together to be a benefit to someone else. You can come alongside someone and perhaps be a step or two ahead of them, and you still have a lot to offer. So, you know, I don't know if that feels relevant.
It does.
Kind of mine coming into today.
Yeah, you know, and for me, and I don't mind sharing this, Bing is my coach, and the greatest value that he adds to me is he forces me to confront things that I don't know that I would left alone. You know, left to my own devices, I probably wouldn't be doing the deep thinking, which is helping me even ask, well, how am I physically or spiritually? Is there any balance in my life? Is that why I'm feeling so much anxiety? Is that why I'm feeling like I'm not living up to anybody's expectations? And walking the process with somebody is, I have found it to be very beneficial.
And I've had seasons as a coach where I deluded myself into thinking that I could be effective at self-coaching because I'm a coach. But that by nature, it doesn't make any sense because I have blind spots. And as soon as I bring a coach into the equation, which I'm working with a coach now, they point out things. And it's so funny because I'm like, oh, that's what I tell my clients.
Yeah.
But it helps to hear it. I can't see it.
Well, and you know, I had somebody very close to me, and you know, Bing, you might be a little bit offended by this. I hope not, but she, and I think immediately we know who the she is. The only she in my life is my wife, and she literally said when I started this journey, "Well, what makes Bing, a competent life coach?" And you know, it's a fair question, but what I told her is, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is maybe the greatest wide receiver in the NFL, right? And now part of it's because he's playing on my team, the Cleveland Browns, but he's the greatest wide receiver. And his coach can't necessarily do everything that he can, but he can sure the heck see the gaps and focus him on ways to improve as a receiver. And I think that's the role of the coach. It doesn't mean that the coach always has everything figured out. In fact, they're on a journey too.
Yes.
But they're able to focus you on what you have said is important. You feel like that's a fair statement?
Yeah, I think I need to understand about 10% of what you, and I work with restaurant owners, I work with distributors, I work with a supplement formulator. If I can understand about 10% of their world, I would say that is not only enough, but it actually could make it a less effective if I understood it too well.
Right.
And the fact that you, the essence of coaching is that everything that you need is within you or within your grasp. And we just got to figure out how to help you pull that out.
Yeah.
And that's a lot like a sports coach, you know, that, Tiger Woods has the talent. His coach brings it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I hate to end here, but I feel like there's a lot going on. And as I stated at the very beginning, I don't know how long this series is going to be, because I think this is something we've been struggling with and trying to answer for generations.
I think it's just ongoing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think what we're going to do is end it here, but ask Bing if he would be so gracious as to come back and, again, lay that foundation on the 5Ds.
Yeah, I'd be honored. And this is just a lot of fun. And I agree, Larry. That's what makes it fun. Is it's just like, you know, every question you answer seems to bring up five more.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the path that we're on.
All right. So
if it's okay, I would like to just offer, and you guys can decide if you want to include this or not, but for people who are interested in kind of following what I'm doing,
yeah,
the best way is through LinkedIn. But really invested a lot recently and getting that real current, and that, you know, that'll get you to other stuff like my website. And I work with people by invitation and referral. So if someone's interested in, you know, connecting and talking, we just kind of have an initial conversation and say, you know, hey, what do you got going on in your world? There's never any kind of pressure or anything like that.
Sounds good. All right. So we're going to end this episode, and we'll come back at a later date with another episode with Bing. Thanks so much for being here, Bing.
Thanks, guys. It was great.
All right, so we're going to be taking this to another episode because there's a wealth of information here.
Oh, boy, he certainly got it.
That's right, he does. And he's been instrumental for me, and I want him to unlock his pearls of wisdom for everybody. So, Larry, I want to thank you for doing what you do, and I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the podcast. Please go to our website, give us some topics you'd like us to discuss. Give us feedback on how we're doing, things that you like and things that you don't like.
And some people are signing up and they want to be on the show, so we're going to be talking to them later too.
That's right, yeah. We actually will have our first listener who is going to be coming on the show.
Down the road.
Yeah.
Well, again, I'd like to suggest that you if you need help with your website, you can contact ACS Creative. They don't play games with your money.
As always, the three amigos here, we're going to say that our goodbye, but I want to thank you guys for listening. I'm Rocky DeStefano.
And I'm Zach Davis.
And we want to remind you that everybody's on this journey, and we really believe it's how you serve and the why behind it that's important. So we want to thank you for joining us, and we want you to ask yourself, are you somebody worth following?